Welcome to Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly, a podcast where we share news, information, resources, tips and tricks about dyscalculia. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes and then search for Dyscalculia Headlines. You can also find us on the web at dyscalculiaheadlines.com and then click on the podcast page. A novel approach to subtypes of developmental dyscalculia. Children with dyscalculia need, deserve help. Child mandate. Child fight mandate from the IDEA, fish and dyscalculia, and numbers go into space. This is our podcast for week 9 in 2023, and welcome Dr. Schroeder, the founder of Dyscalculia Services. She's going to help us make sense of the links from our website, dyscalculiaheadlines.com. Hello, Dr. Schroeder, welcome.
Well, thank you so much. Always happy to be back here.
Yeah, happy. I mean, I cannot even pronounce the links for today. So we really need a child find mandate from the IDEA. I'm very curious what they do. I'm very curious about the one about fish and dyscalculia.
That's a very nice one. We'll get to that in due time.
I cannot wait. Let's dive in with the first one. And it's about a novel approach to subtypes of dyscalculia. What's new here?
Well, this is actually hot from the press, or actually not even from the press. This is a preprint copy of an article.
We are so
that we found. Yes, exactly. That we found at Research Square, of an article about this new research they have performed at the University of California, San Francisco, and in connection with the University of Geneva in Switzerland. And it is funded in part by the Schwab Foundation. So, as there is no agreed single assessment yet for dyscalculia, they designed the dyscalculia subtyping battery. And that is aiming at identifying deficits in 4 distinct mathematical domains. So, number processing, arithmetical procedures, arithmetic facts retrieval, and geometrical abilities. And their conclusion is that a neuroscience-based dyscalculia evaluation battery can help you to identify these subtypes, acknowledging the multidimensional nature of the disorder. So it's not a single thing, black and white thing.
Right.
Okay, now, if this will be confirmed in larger samples, these findings can really pave the way for a novel diagnostic approach and a consistent subtype classification, which would be really useful.
That'd be good. Yeah.
And obviously, that ultimately is going to shape the personalized interventions. What we all do this for, right? To help the students who have this issue. So a very good new development in the journey to an agreed common approach to developmental dyscalculia. And we are really excited about this, and we look forward to the real, to the complete study and their final research paper.
Right. Okay, now our next link, I think, is less new. It says that children with dyscalculia need or deserve help. But we knew that already, right?
Of course we do. But this is actually added to the links because they make the point very clear with a very good example.
Okay.
Now let me quote here Dieter Boetke, chairman of the Cologne LRS, and they work with dyslexia and dyscalculia. So, how would a student with poor eyesight fare if his glasses were removed?
I couldn't see anything.
He could hardly follow the lessons anymore, right? So assignments on the blackboard would be eligible. And he would soon be getting bad grades, of course.
Yes.
Since that, we all know, would be completely unfair, students are allowed to wear glasses in class. That has been there for several decades, if not hundreds of years.
Right, except for gym class sometimes.
Yes, but, gym class is an exception.
Right.
But that's for safety.
But in math class, yes.
Okay. And while this is still lacking, your disability is compensated in other ways. For example, reading aloud or more time to read. And the same should apply to students with dyscalculia.
Right.
That's a very good example. And when talking to teachers who mistake equality for equity and do not see that providing accommodations to students with dyscalculia is not giving them an unfair advantage, but actually levels the playing field so that right. all children have the same opportunities. And this is still a good post because, unfortunately, there is still a lot of discussion about how to identify who actually qualifies to get help and to be able to use these accommodations. And all organizations involved here that they mention are several. They all say this needs to be updated. And we'll add this example about the glasses to my portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think that that would be good. I like that about the glasses. Yeah, that makes it so clear.
Yeah, no pun intended, obviously.
right. Now the next link is about the child find mandate. What can we find here, and what can we learn from it?
Well, this is written by Ben Tobin, and he is a licensed special education teacher and also a disabilities advocate, which is very important that we have those. We actually need more advocates. Now, his point is to look carefully at the wording of the IDEA, and that's a law. We all know that. And hold school districts accountable for actually following the directives that they are given in this federal law.
No, that'd be good.
The IDEA includes the mandate that districts must identify all students with disabilities in their jurisdiction. So that includes homeless students and students who are placed in a private school.
Or
homeschooled, exactly.
Yeah.
So under IDEA Part B, there's a requirement that states have policies and procedures in place for special education. And this includes the child find. Now, school districts are then required to have corresponding policies and procedures and actually make them happen, implement it. It's not only to be on paper, right? So, well, not much of that is present in the cases that we encounter a lot. What we see a lot is that school districts may have a tendency to develop procedures that delay the testing in, I guess, an idle hope that maybe the learning disability will magically disappear after some time. Or
they'll grow out of it.
Yeah, they'll grow out of it and it's developmental and so on.
Right.
So, or maybe because they like to help, but don't have the resources for remediation once a learning disability has been identified.
Right.
So we know this is an ongoing battle for awareness and resources. But this is a very good article to be reminded of that federal requirement. So you can mention that from time to time to officials who might drag their heels on an assessment.
Right, it'd be good to bring a copy of that law into your ARD meeting. And
yeah, no, you're right.
And show it, okay. Now, that next link is very much anticipated. It's about fish and dyscalculia. The other week we talked about a plant with dyscalculia and now a fish. What is going on here?
Yeah, okay. So this comes to us from Italy. And it is authored by Professor Christian Agrillo from the University of Padua. And it was published by FutureLearn.com. So quite entertaining video, actually, of less than 10 minutes, where the researchers explain how they have done some research into understanding dyscalculia using little fish. Yeah, well, fish grow to adulthood in 90 days.
Okay.
So you don't have to follow their development for years like with humans.
Right.
And then the modern technology now allows for scanning of their tiny brains. Now, there are actually remarkably similar processes happening with fish and humans. When you get to the examine them for dyscalculia. Now, also they work together with the University of Trento, with Professor Vallortigara, and the Queen Mary University of London with Professor Brennan, and they have combined their efforts to study the genetics of numerical abilities and disabilities, obviously, in this species model, and they are using zebrafish.
Wow.
So it has become clear that fish can now be widely used for research, and we know that fish like to be with other fish. They are group animals, so to say.
They swim in schools, right?
Exactly. So you can actually teach them that some doors in a aquarium lead to the other fish so that they can be together and others do not. So now we can check if they see the difference between two doors and there's a numerosity on those doors, like two or three or four.
Dots, okay.
Either dots or shapes, and they have very scientifically controlled for the different area, because if you have a dot and a square, they have different area, and that might be the area where the fish goes for, and not for the number of dots or squares.
Must have been fun working with this fish.
Absolutely. So, apart from area, they controlled for lighting so that it's equally visible, the different doors. Also, the overall perimeter of the shapes and the convex hull. So if you look at several shapes together, you can kind of make a shape around it and perceive it at that way. So they controlled for all of these. And then they still saw that fish and humans actually process ratios, and obviously a big ratio of 1 to 2 is easier to discriminate than a ratio of 2 to 3 or 3 to 4, and that's the same, exactly the same in humans. And also that they can use ordinal and spatial cues just like humans. So it's very interesting research.
I think the big advantage is indeed that they grow to adulthood in 90 days. I mean, they get born, and then 3 weeks later, they're in kindergarten. And a month later, they're in middle school. You know, another week later, they're in high school. 2 weeks later, they're graduated. And then before you know it, they're in a retirement home. It's amazing.
Yeah, 12 weeks, and they are subjects.
It's amazing. Okay, well, that brings us to our last link, and this talks about numbers going into space, and what is that all about?
Yes, also very interesting research. Now, we know for years now that people, students and also adults with developmental dyscalculia have difficulty with placing numbers on a number line, and we have called that they lack their mental number line. And we've always called that a number line. So as if you place those numbers in a linear formation. Now, this new research, which is performed by scientists from Israel and Germany together, has shown that adults who have trouble with math may have an issue with placing numbers on a space in general. So not just on the linear formation, which we already knew, but also on the non-linear formation. If you make another pattern, and they have more trouble learning a new formation than people who do not have dyscalculia. Now, people with issues in number sense and dyscalculia may compensate for their lack in working with a number line and spacing numbers, may compensate for that by looking for reference points.
Okay.
And the researchers found that the estimation done by people with developmental dyscalculia was worse when the reference points were far away and better when they were close. So they can use the reference points, which is I think, understandable because they cannot come up in their mind with those reference points themselves. Right. That is the big issue here. So it's a result that may have good implications for remediation and teaching the dyscalculic students about how to improve their estimation. So help them with reference points.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Schroeder, for your insights. We hope to see you again next week. Dr. Schroeder is the founder of Dyscalculia Services, and you can follow her all over the interwebs. Now, the links that she mentions are all published on our website, dyscalculiaheadlines.com. But if you want to talk to Dr. Schroeder, go to dyscalculiaservices.com and click on the contact page and then drop her a message. She reads them all, and she'll be happy to respond to you.
Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly is a production from dyscalculiaheadlines.com. You can find us on the web at dyscalculiaheadlines.com, and we are on Twitter at dyscalculiahead. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a board on Pinterest and on Flipboard. Search for Dyscalculia Headlines or follow the links on our webpage. You can send your questions, comments, and contributions to communications@dyscalculiaheadlines.com, and we may even discuss it in one of our upcoming podcasts. We hope this was useful for you, and until next week, you can count on us.